Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another exciting episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show and podcast. I am your host, Alicia Brown, and I just want to share with you one statistic that no matter how hard we try, never seems to change. And that's the fact that only 2% of women-owned businesses ever break the $1 million mark. In comparison to men, men are 3.5 times as likely to reach that $1 million threshold, but women, only 2%. And that's why my next guest is so precious for me to introduce to you this evening, because I remember one saying she said, and I'll give you those two later, but one of the ones she said, if you can make $1, you can make $1 million of them. And with her impressive background, she's going to tell us exactly how to do that. Amber Aziza is the founder and CEO of AAE Corporation, which houses multiple subsidiaries, and she has made it her life's work to provide innovative organizations with expert solutions. Through her company, AAE Corporation, Amber and her team serve clients all around the world, startups to multi-billion dollar enterprises. And I did say multi-billion dollar enterprises. AAE Corporation houses the following organizations: Recruit Aid Agency, Kid Executive, Make Your Worth Mastermind, and Five Figure Speech Academy. Amber is a five-time award-winning certified master trainer and speaker, and she speaks to audiences worldwide about multi-generational engagement, diversity and inclusion, and business acceleration. She currently splits her time between Nashville, Tennessee, and London, UK. And if you can believe it or not, she's also a millennial. So when we go through this interview, you'll hear the different successes that she's had, but you'll also discover the journey to get there. Amber, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
And thank you for joining us. There are just so many questions that I have for you in this brief time, so I want to dive right in. I have followed you on social media for a few years, and I remember two things that you said that have always stayed with me. You said that you strive to live a lifestyle that would make Carrie Bradshaw jealous, for those of us who are Sex and the City fans, and that if you can make $1, you can make $1 million of them. And if we look at your life and your accomplishments, it appears that you have done more than that. But you're making six figures, and you were making six figures in your career before your mid-20s. You're definitely not making six figures now. You've exceeded that. But what made you decide to quit a successful job and then launch your own empire?
You know, I really think it was more so the realization that I was never going to be paid what I was worth and that someone else would always dictate what my worth was in monetary value. And, you know, after seeing various bosses of mine who own companies that I'd worked for have massive success, you know, and have the rewards of those massive successes. So I had a boss that bought an island. I had a boss that bought a home, a beautiful, beautiful vacation home in Connecticut. I had bosses that literally worked 8 hours a month that would show up one day and then would just disappear for the rest of the month. And here I was working all the time, 40, 60 hours a week. And I loved what I did. But when you start to realize that you are the cog in the wheel that's creating that success for them, it was really a light bulb moment for me to say, I can't keep doing this. I need to start being paid what I'm worth and for the value that I'm actually bringing to the company.
And I love that you said that. But I was raised very old school, and definitely as a woman of color. You know, if you're an executive or you have that financially lucrative job and power and perks, you're often told in our community that you're crazy if you're going to walk away from that to pursue a dream or anything else that's deemed as less security. So how did you stick to that, the fact that, you know, you felt like I'm working all these hours, I'm getting paid well, but I'm looking at those above me who are, you know, doing less work as it was perceived, and they're having more fun and perks?
You know, I think it was, I was advantaged enough to have seen inner workings of businesses and to have direct relationships with the owners of the companies I worked for. So I heard their struggle stories. I heard, you know, how they made it and how they made it work. But I also had friends who were in the process of starting businesses. So a lot of my friends, we all kind of started our businesses within 2 or 3 years of each other. And for me, even though, yes, I definitely came from that same background, same community of you are crazy to leave a perfectly good, well-paying job where you are in autopilot because you do it so well, I looked around me in my friend circle and saw that, you know, there were these innovative women who were starting businesses, and I just had this voice inside of me that just kept saying, what are you doing? Why are you still here? And I'd actually, you know, thrown on the fact that I had actually started my company before I left my job. Oftentimes people think, like, she quit and then just started her job, like that, or she quit her job and then started her business, and that's just not how it worked. I had a side gig, a side hustle, so to speak, that was more so helping folks, you know, with their resumes and helping them understand how to ace these interviews, because I was in the organizational development side of the business when I was in corporate. And then also other companies would call me often and say, like, hey, would you mind if we bend your ear on this particular subject? We're having trouble finding a solution for it. So I'd already started doing that probably about 18 months before I actually left my full-time job. And the goal was never to leave the full-time job. The goal was more so, let me just do this because I was hoping it was going to grow my notoriety as an expert, right? So it'd be easier to continue to be headhunted. That was why I started that. But then as I started seeing my friends building whole businesses and realizing, you know, that I wasn't making my worth. I wasn't making anywhere near what my boss was or the owner of the company that I was working for were making. It was just that spark in me that said, quit this job. You know that you'll be fine. You're not having, you know, a ton of trouble finding clients for the side hustle. So what would be different for, you know, building the actual business? So that really was what kept me going. But, yeah, I came from that background. And my parents thought I was crazy. Like, when I told them that I wasn't going to look for a new job, I had to tell them I got laid off. I couldn't tell them I got fired. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no.
I could not tell them that. I couldn't tell them that, you know, I'd walked away from a job. I couldn't. I wanted to, but I couldn't because my parents are old school. You know, right now they're in their 70s. When all this happened, they were in their 60s. Calling your parents in their 60s and saying, hey, guys, so I quit my job. And I know I was making like $6,000 a year, and that's more than you guys have ever made in, you know, combined a year. But I'm gonna follow my dreams. They would have been like, shut your dreams down, take your butt back to work, and ask for your
job. I'm probably checking you into work, and they're like, oh, she's sick. She's really sick.
Right. Right. So I just told them, you know, I got laid off because it was the easiest thing to do. And honestly, I didn't even tell them until maybe 2 years ago that I didn't actually get laid off, that I quit my job.
And oh, wow.
My dad was like, what do you mean you quit your job? Like, even though it all worked out, I still got the lecture.
Oh, wow. So, see, that just goes to tell you. I wish I had thought of that. To tell them I got laid off. I was honest. And, you know, wow. So that's a tip for anybody listening. If you're in that transition, you can just tell them you got laid off. Don't tell them right
away.
Tell
them you got laid off.
But I do also want to point out that you said you didn't just quit the job and you just went and launched into it. You were actually doing something on the side while you were working, which is a lot of times how entrepreneurs actually start their business. It was just a side gig and you're doing well, and they might have some of the same feelings that you have, and they realize, hey, you know, I'm not going to suffer if I walk away from this and pursue my passion that may have started as a side hustle but is doing extremely well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for me it was a little bit different than some of the people who intentionally built their side hustle. I built my side hustle simply out of just like, hey, let me keep my relevance in, you know, my industry so that the next position that I'm headhunted for is an easy yes. But I did not build the business intentionally. And so I flailed when I got out of my corporate position because I'd always operated the business not like a business, it was more like a hobby. And so when I got out of my 9-to-5, I had no, you know, foundation of how to make the business work. I had no foundation on how to get clients. I didn't know anything about marketing or how to, you know, build a sales funnel or have sales leads. I didn't know any of that. And so when I first started, I had to move back home with my parents. I had to, you know, play the hide the car from repossession game for a few months because I didn't know what I was doing. You know, so many times we think, oh, this is working out fine, I'll be fine to leave. But the reality was is that I hadn't built that for me to be able to leave. I had built it as more of something to keep my relevancy and keep my expertise on point. And so when I left, it was as if I had just simply left with no plan, no background. I had a disposable income, but I was incredibly disposing of it. And so I didn't have a ton saved, and it was really a struggle for me. So I don't want people to think that I had no struggle at all, that I had just like built up the side hustle and then it became successful. It really was not like that at all because I hadn't built it for that purpose. I wouldn't even say at that time that I had built it, so to speak. It was more so just I would be reached out to, and I would just say, okay, this is how much I'm going to charge you. But it wasn't anything sustainable or anything that could really breathe life on its own without me already having the corporate gig behind me.
So I'm so glad you're transparent with that because, you know, in the land of social media and these fabulous coaches and all of this free webinar and this, that, that's the impression that a lot of new entrepreneurs or hopeful, that's what they get. You know, they're not seeing that other part that, hey, yeah, you see where they are now, but you didn't see the part of the transition. And even now, one statistic that never seems to change for women is that only 2% of women-owned businesses will break the $1 million mark compared to our males who are 3.5 times as likely to reach that threshold. But before, you know, we fast forward from your mid-20s, before you turned 30, you had built and sold your first multi-million-dollar business. So the transparency you just gave us, how did you make that turnaround?
I focused. I really put my all into it. I swallowed a lot of my pride. I moved back home with mom and dad instead of paying $2,000-$3,000 a month for rent. I got myself a bridge job. I followed Marie Forleo at the time, and I'm a big Marie Forleo fan, still am. And one of the things that she constantly told her followers was, don't be afraid to get a bridge job, a job that is maybe not in your expertise, a job that is maybe more of a grunt job, you know, or a job that is more of a pay-the-bills job while you build your dream. And so that's what I did. I got myself a job, a full-time job at David's Bridal, and I worked my booty off dealing with crazy brides during the day and building my business at night because I was determined, and I knew that if I got back in a corporate position, I know myself, if I got back in a cushy corporate position, I wouldn't have had the drive to continue to build out the business. I would have just kept it like it was. I had focus. I also enrolled in Marie Forleo's B School so that I could learn, like, I knew the executive part of it. I knew how the mechanics of business, right? But I knew nothing about marketing it. I knew nothing about, you know, having websites and what should be on the website and all. I didn't know any of that. So, like, I had been building my side business and didn't even have a real website. Like, I just had like a note on my LinkedIn page.
So okay.
But feel free to reach out to me. So I really took that course and a couple of other trainings, and I got a mentor who really could help me with, okay, this is how you build out an actual business. This is how you make it a real business. And so that was really important to me, and I think that's really what took me, you know, heads and shoulders above those who started the same time as I did and didn't see the same success, was because I was laser sharp focused. Everything I did was going back to the question of, is this really going to help the trajectory of your life that you're hoping it'll go in? And if the answer is no, then I'm not doing it. Hey girl, you want to go to Cancun with us for this weekend? Even when I was working, in my bridge job, and I was like, okay, I got the money, I could go, or I could take this money and hire somebody to help teach me how to do sales, because I was not good at sales. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to go and bump this back into my business. Like, Cancun will still be there. I need to focus on my business.
Okay.
And that, you know, that I think was what made me different. I think the other thing that truly made me different was the fact that I was quick to recognize what I wasn't good at and to get help in those areas. And even though I wasn't working with a large budget, I was making just enough to pay my bills and have a little bit left over.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have a large budget, but I knew the areas I wasn't good at. And so when I found, like, wow, I am getting to these pitch meetings with these corporations and I am not nailing them. Like, I don't even feel confident as I'm doing it. What's wrong? I reached out to a friend who was in sales, and I said, would you mind coming to my next pitch meeting with me and telling me what I'm doing wrong? And when she came, the first thing she said after it was over, she was like, yeah, you did a really great job, except you never actually asked for the sale. I was just like, oh, okay.
All righty.
So being able to swallow my pride and say, okay, sales aren't my thing. Like, it's not my jam. It's not my lane. Can you come and help me with this? Can we create some sort of barter? Can I pay you in equity? Because I knew that it was important, but I knew I wasn't good at it. And rather than to waste my time taking another course trying to learn how to sell, I said, screw it, let me find someone who's good at it, who's willing to come in as a partner and as an equity shareholder to do this and, you know, work on commission. And so that's really, you know, what I think made me pull apart from everyone else is, while everyone else was trying to take the sales course, the copywriting course, the online marketing course, you know, the getting client course, the building your lead funnel course, I was just like, I'm not good at this, or this. Let me find someone who can be.
Oh, I love that. Laser sharp focus, and then you're giving us those million-dollar nuggets of things we really need to do. It's sort of breaking through this whole fog a lot of times that we see with all the marketing and social media marketing of what you really need to kick into gear, and it doesn't work. Now, I also want to ask you, because this is so important, and we know that entrepreneurship has different challenges. It's up and down. There's, you know, victories one moment. You might be crying the next moment, and then you're happy again, and that all can, you know, take place in a couple of hours in a day. But one of the challenges, you're a two-time cancer survivor and a lupus warrior. So what advice do you give to entrepreneurs who are facing or have faced challenges with life-altering illnesses?
You know, I think knowing that does not make you any less of a superwoman than you feel like you are. Sometimes we feel like when we have these illnesses that it makes you feel like I'm not as strong as everyone else, or I can't be as successful as everyone else because of it. For me, it was almost like I'm even stronger than everyone else because of it, because I not only am building a business, but I'm also, you know, sometimes fighting for my life or battling, you know, fatigue or just a lack of desire to be around anybody. Like, leave me alone, don't talk to me, I'm exhausted. So I think, you know, the piece of advice I would have for ladies going through the same, you know, kind of life-altering illnesses would be to simply understand that you are building a business for a totally different reason than you have a corporate position or any position. You should be building that business around your life, not building your life around that business. And when you build the business around your life, you find yourself in a position where if you need to take off for chemotherapy, you can do that. If you need to take off because you woke up, you know, with severe pain or a weird rash or, you know, unable to breathe, you can take off. And so when you start it at the very beginning, start it from the point of understanding that you need to build that business around your life so that it will be flexible and accommodating. Put all of your appointments that require you to talk to people on the same one or two days of the week. That way you know, okay, I just got to push through Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I know I will be fine if something pops up. And so really make the business accommodate you.
I like that. I like that. As someone that deals with life-altering illnesses, it can be quite challenging. And with the regular pressures of entrepreneurship plus that, a lot of times you do really feel like you, you know, I just want to quit. But then I love what you said about your building that, you know, your life around the business, not the business around your life. Wow. So I know time has quickly gone by. So before I ask where our followers can connect with you, I want to ask, are there any last words of wisdom that you would give people of how they can have the success like you have that they're desiring?
I think stay steadfast in what you're doing. Keep your eyes on your own paper. Don't worry about what other people are doing. I recently am currently actually in the middle of a social media break, just to kind of detox from it. It's important to have moments where you don't feel the excruciating pressure of what everyone else is doing around you. So keep your eyes on your own paper and find a way to block all of that out and build the business that you want to build. There's no perfect formula to a perfect business. It doesn't exist. Stop trying to find it and build the business that works for you, your family, your lifestyle that you desire. If you want to travel all the time, you need to build your business to accommodate that. If you want to be able to make lots of money in a short amount of time, you need to build your business to accommodate that. But stop trying to, you know, follow the step-by-step process of building a successful business and just build it with the mechanics in place that will support your goals, but also understand that the business is uniquely yours because you're building it. So don't worry if it doesn't look like everyone else's.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And, of course, we know you've really made that work for you. So that is very, very, very sound advice. Where can our followers and our listeners connect with you?
Well, you can find me anywhere on social media at Amber_Aziza, or you can check out my site at amberaziza.com.
Awesome. So we're definitely going to put that on our social media. And Amber, just thank you so much for taking this time and these truly million-dollar nuggets that all of us, despite what level of our business we're in, can definitely apply for success.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And all the best to you. I'm excited to see what the next chapters and the next things are.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, listeners, there you have it. Such an awesome, awesome entrepreneur. And I hope you really took note of the things that she said. Because so often, you know, this journey can be amazing. It can also be very challenging. And we do a lot of the comparison and looking at other people and judging ourselves. But we really need to remember what is the aspirations of why we're getting into business? What is the whole point of why we're doing that? And what are those people that we know that needs the unique services and products and concepts that we offer? So I hope this episode has truly inspired you. We will be sharing more with you about some of those nuggets that she shared. And until next time, may you have a prosperous and successful day. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Entrepreneur's Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.